Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is a portion of the gospel lesson that you have heard read, and it concerns discipleship. In other words, it concerns following Jesus. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, you know, at first glance, some verses in the Bible strike us as being quite confusing, maybe even overdone, over the top, or even fanatical. God presents His people with some breathtaking observations and some shocking commands. Put them all to the sword. That's what the Lord commanded Joshua to do as he took possession of the promised land. If nothing else, the Christian or the unbeliever may conclude that God's invitation to faith and discipleship is very serious. It's a call to serve the living God. To serve the living God or die. So this morning, our Lord tells us about three very important aspects of discipleship. First, the call, then the cost, and lastly, the course. So let's begin this morning with the call to discipleship. The religious zeal and ignorance of the multitude that flocked around Jesus was quite clear. They wanted Him, as we hear in the Gospel according to John, to be their bread king. Or they desire that God be the great treasurer from on high and that He dispense all His great treasures upon them, His faithful followers. Today we have the electronic church, which is evident enough as they gather together to be entertained, where faith is totally ignored. Natural man will always rebuild God in his own image, man's image. Now, today, you're confronted by the question, why do you follow Jesus? Or not? This question brings us to one of the most difficult verses of Holy Scripture. It's verse 26. You can see it there in the back of your insert. Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. The issue with this verse is that single word, hate. Sadly, many English versions of Holy Scripture mistranslate the word. Oh yes, it can mean hate in the original language, but in the context that Jesus uses it, He's using it in a much better way, if you will. He's saying that we must disfavor or disregard our loved ones, your family, and even yourself if you want to be a disciple of Jesus. He is not telling you that you're to kill your family, that you're to lock them away somewhere, or that you're to ignore them forever. That's not what He's saying. He is saying that you must not idolize them over and above Himself. Therefore, Jesus is telling us that you must obey the first commandment. And you all know the first commandment and the meaning that we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That includes father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters. Yes, even yourself. And in today's world, that is a shocking statement. You are to disregard yourself. After all, the world's all about me, myself, and I. And since I don't want to follow Jesus, therefore, I'll follow me, myself, or I. Yet Jesus is saying that when you do this, you will surely die. You see, sin is the stumbling block to discipleship. Sin warps our understanding of faith in God. Sin focuses man on himself or herself, or on other people, or on other things, which, by the way, dear one, may I remind you, cannot and will not save you. There is no one, and there is nothing that was willing to go here to save you from yourself, to save you from your sin, to save you from the power of death, to save you from Satan. Only one man was willing, the God-man, Jesus. Not your father, not your mother, not your brother or sisters or your wife or your husband or anyone, including yourself. You see, it's sin that places us under God's judgment, temporal and eternal, by the way. Sin and unbelief is like a cancer. It consumes us and destroys our communion with a holy and just and loving and forgiving God. Jesus, though, came to defeat all of these. Paul writes in his second letter to the Corinthians by saying, Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Jesus, in his flesh, carried your guilt, your sin, and your death here and sacrificed it on the cross. Jesus here won the peace between God and you. His redemptive life and death opens up communion once again with you and your God, your Father in heaven. Only Jesus could do this. And therefore, his atonement is based on his call to all people, no matter where you're from, no matter what you look like, no matter how tall you are or how short you are, or even if you're from that state up north, we're called to follow him. That's the call to discipleship. But you know, with the call, there is a cost. And that's what most people get hung up on. They hear the call, but they don't want to suffer the cost. No one, Jesus is telling us, no one, nothing must ever claim primacy or dominance over him. Discipleship to Jesus is complete and it is permanent. Therefore, faith in him and him alone accepts the blessings that have been won for you here at the cross. So there is a cost. Jesus must be first in your life, first and always in your life. His followers, his disciples must say yes to all his promises and to all of his commands. You must understand, dear one, the total cost of discipleship. It's related to us in verses 28 through 30. A tower is to be built. Workers, salaries, material are to be calculated for this projected task. Every nail, every screw, every hourly wage must be taken into account. Attention to detail is demanded. It's actually necessary. The demand is no less for the disciple of Jesus Christ. We must understand what is involved in the call to discipleship. Membership Membership in His kingdom is no small thing. We must understand that there is a commitment that is involved when it comes to discipleship, when it comes to following Jesus. The analogy of the military operation stresses this for us this morning. It's a very serious call, and it's a very serious cost. There is danger, there is warning, there is combat. I once heard a college professor say, "You know, the trouble with you Christians is this. You play for keeps. You play hardball." You know, he's exactly right. We must play for hardball, because the call to discipleship is for keeps forever. The battle of life will continue. You know this. Satan, old Adam, will continually tempt you to drop your cross and go the way of the world. And Jesus is very clear. "So therefore, if any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." He can't make it any clearer than that. That's the cost of discipleship. So you've heard of the call, and you've heard of the cost. Now, finally, is the course, the way of discipleship. Trusting in Jesus as your Redeemer is the very first step. The course begins with saving faith, freely given to you there at the font. Here at the font, God comes to you. He washes away your sins and gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now you have faith in your Savior. You are now able to trust Him. It should be clear that there can be no saving faith, that there can be no discipleship without holy baptism. For there is where you receive that saving faith. Faith in Jesus makes one His disciple. And it's a disciple forever, unless that person decides to once again drop their cross and go the way of the world. The disciple places all at the service of Jesus. That's what you and I are to do. There is no corner of our life that can be excluded from service to Christ. The Christian's lifestyle reflects the call of their Savior. The disciple is God's man, His new man, His new woman, with new goals in one's life. The disciple takes up his or her cross, and they follow Jesus at all cost. Oh yes, as you heard with our children, if they were to carry the cross to school, they would certainly be ridiculed, made fun of. In this world, you may be persecuted even to the point of death. The wrath of the evil one, of Satan, is directly come to bear on your life. Satan is bringing out his huge artillery cannons, and he is going full bore, and he is firing his guns, and he will not stop until you take your very last breath. But the true disciple of Jesus will follow Jesus unto the very end. Does all this mean that the course of discipleship, of salvation, of redemption, is something that you do? Heavens no. Absolutely not. The gift of life and discipleship is absolutely free, given to you by your Savior. And He has sent one to walk this way with you, the Holy Spirit. But the world, and yes, the devil, and our own sinful human flesh, they all attempt to drag you away from your Savior. Here is the cost on the road to redemption. And the cost is constant pressure, pressure, pressure to sin, to sin, to sin, to renounce Jesus and to go your own way. Dearest beloved of Jesus, you are a pilgrim in this foreign land. You have a long road to travel before the darkness falls and you stand in the bright light of His redemption. So therefore, as you, many of you know, that the very last hymn we sing at a funeral here in this congregation is hymn 660. Go ahead and turn to it. Hymn 660, you know where it is. It's the very last hymn in our hymnal. And as you look at the first stanza and you come down to the third line, what does the writer say? Danger and sorrow stand around me on every hand. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. The second stanza, what though the tempest rage? Heaven is my home. Short is my pilgrimage. Heaven is my home. And time's wild wintry blast soon shall be overpast. And I shall reach home at last. Heaven is my home. And he that endureth to the end shall receive the crown of life. Thanks be to Jesus that He is our Savior and that you do follow Him. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.